الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبو القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين بهم نتمنى ومن أعدائهم نتمنى. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا محافظا مقابلا محسنا ودليلا معينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك ترضى وتمتعه فيها طويلا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Before we get on to our topic, there are two questions. One of them is regarding the recitation of Quran and learning Quran. How much are we bound to learn to read Quran? Well, it is an obligation upon each of us that we have to learn to read Quran, and there is a lot of emphasis to that, a lot of importance. That is the different parts of the bodies that Allah has given to us. Each one of them has a right. One of the rights which our eighth Imam mentions regarding the eyes, he says that النَّذَرُ إِلَى الْمُصْحَفِ عِبَادَةٌ, that the right of the eye is that you have to give it to that eye, and that is to look at the Qur'an. So looking at Qur'an, it's a worship, it's an ibadah in itself. Many a times you see the question that comes up as, what about the transliterations that we have in Arabic? Will that be sufficient in reciting Qur'an? Well, it's better than nothing. Transliteration also, you can recite Qur'an with the transliteration, but it is not that accurate. The same thing applies with the translations that are present. You can read the translations, it is good, you get to know what the Quran is, but the recitation of the actual Arabic script that is desired, that is what Masumi have taught to us. In addition to this, we are told that we have to recite Quran correctly, without any mistakes. So if we are to recite Quran, we should recite it correctly. Again, if these ayat and verses of Quran are not recited correctly in namaz, namaz is batil, the prayers are batil. And if these ayat are not recited correct, if someone goes on for hajj, after all that expenses, time, effort, energy, performs the tawaf, and there are those two rakat prayers to be offered by the Kaaba after tawaf, if he recites those two prayers wrong, that tawaf is batil, that hajj is batil, all his energy is batil, it's all waste. In addition to that, if he had a wife, that wife is going to be haram for him. If he was a single, he cannot get married until he performs another correct hajj. So we have to be very careful about the recitations that we have of Quran, and in particular in prayers. We have riwayat which say that someone who was not lucky enough to learn to read Quran in this dunya, عُلِّمَ فِي قَبْرِهِ, he will be taught to read Quran in his grave. Now we believe that the moment a person dies, whatever he has done, that performance report, it closes. Nothing will be added on to it, and nothing will be lessened from it, unless there is some baqiyat as-salihat that he has left behind, as a result of which his account will be credited, positive or negative. It's the good that he has left behind, good will increase. If God forbid bad he has left behind, bad will increase. But here riwayat, they say that عُلِّمَ فِي قَبْرِهِ, someone who was not successful in learning Quran while he was alive, he will be taught Quran in the grave. Now when he will be taught Quran in the grave, it doesn't mean that his performance report will increase by him learning Quran. He will be taught Quran, but then his regret will increase. That is, I wish I had learned to read Quran while I was alive. So he will come to know what beauty and benevolence is hidden in this Quran, which he did not learn to read while he was in this world. So, importance to the recitation of Quran. The other question was that, what about feeding others during the month of Ramadan while everyone is fasting? I think you've got some no more hunger and you want to feed during the day. Well, feeding masakin, itam, all these are acts that are highly recommended, highly desired, and to which a lot of importance has been given in Islam. Now, I'll mention a few things, just keep them in your mind and then you will get the answer yourself. First of all, the month of Ramadan, it has its own sanctity. It has its own hurmat. That is, even if a person could not observe the fasts, if he was a traveler, or if he was maleed, if he was old, if he was ill, sick, he cannot observe the fast. The ruling is that, even though he cannot observe the fast, he has to observe the sanctity of the month. He shouldn't be eating and drinking openly in front of others. If I cannot observe my fast during the day, I have no right to sit and eat and break the sanctity of the month. That is why you find in all the Muslim world, during the month of Ramadan, all the restaurants and all, they are all shut because of the sanctity of the month. That is one. Secondly, we believe that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will punish the kuffar, yu'aqabuna ala al-usul kama yu'aqabuna ala al-furuq. That is, kuffar, on the day of judgment, they will be punished for two things. One, for not learning their usul-ad-deen, that is, the fundamentals of their religion. In addition to that, they will be punished for the furu'ad-deen as well. That is, why did they not pray? Why did they not fast? Why did they not observe all these harams and halals? And that is the mere justice and adalat of Allah. If he doesn't act that way, we are the first ones who will object that they live an easy life over here and they will not be punished for all those things which we were commanded to observe. So, kuffar, on the day of judgment, they will be punished for two things, for usul and for furu' both. That is, they will be asked why did they pray, they will be asked why did they fast, etc. Observing the sanctity of the month, kuffar, their punishment in the hereafter. And also, if we, another issue that we have to bear in mind over here is that we are allowed to eat halal only. What about feeding kuffar? If I was to give something to my neighbor who is not a Muslim, can I give him whatever I want? Can I give him something which is najis? Because I can't eat it, I can't. If someone gave me a burger from McDonald's, for example, I don't eat it. I can't even give it to someone who recognizes that to be halal for himself. I have to throw it away. If someone gave you chocolates and you found liquor in those chocolates, you can't give it to your neighbor. That is the ruling. Because that is najis for you, they also cannot consume, they also cannot eat. So bear that in mind as well. Now, when it comes to feeding others in the month of Ramadan, you can cook, you can prepare the meals, but if you want to feed them after Maghrib, when it is time for iftar. If you were to cook something and you were to feed those who have no faith in Islam during the day, you are in a way helping them, because they are not fasting, they are breaking their fast during the day. If they eat, because on the day of judgment, they will be punished for not fasting. So when we are helping them to eat, we are helping them in committing that sin which is not observing the fast. It's a very delicate issue, it is not haram, it is not makruh, but it's just a support that we are supporting them in committing that sin. It's a very delicate issue. So if you want to help them, if you want to feed them, it's good, but do it after iftar. That is the answer to the question. I hope it is clear. Coming back to our topic, and that is Shias in the viewpoint of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alayhi. Muhammad.
It was mentioned yesterday that the basic criteria that a mu'min possesses is iman. Iman is belief in the one God, in the prophethood, in the day of judgment. It was mentioned that iman is nur, iman is light, kufr is darkness, and whoever possesses iman is enlightened, and someone who possesses this iman is a mu'min. Mu'min in Quran are the Shias, and regarding the Shias, the mu'mineen, there are riwayat which say that the dignity, the honor which each one of the mu'mineen possesses is more than the Kaaba. And in that hadith that was reported yesterday, that Rasulullah in Masjid al-Haram, he faces the Kaaba and says that what a great dignity Allah has given to you, but the dignity of one mu'min is more than the Kaaba. And then it was concluded with that hadith that on the day of judgment, Allah will complain from some of the mu'mineen, not because they have not performed their duties. They have performed all the duties to the best of their abilities. Allah will complain to them that why did you not meet me when I was ill? Mu'min will say that you never fell ill. Glory belongs to you. You are Subhanak. That is, you cannot fail ill. You are perfect in every form. Then Allah says that had you visited that fellow mu'min, you would have found me there. That is, Allah says, brings himself to a level of a mu'min that he says that why did you visit me when I was ill? And then says that if a person comes and visits that mu'min who is ill, Allah says, إِيَّا يَعْزُرْتَ وَتَلَاهُكَ عَلَيَّ. That is, by visiting that fellow mu'min who was ill, it is as if you have visited the existence of Allah, and the reward of that also will be upon Allah Jalla Ala. So that was just a brief recap of what was mentioned yesterday. Now the view of Shias, according to the religion that we have faith in, every value is having faith, is by having faith in Allah, the Barakhu Ta'ala. Without having faith in Allah, no matter how much good we do, all of that is going to be a waste. And every value is affected with that belief that we have in Allah, the Barakhu Ta'ala. And the base of every demerit, again, is kufr. And disbelief, which is denying the signs and ayat of Allah Jalla wa'ala. Again, with this description, immediately shaitan also, he tempts us, he cheats us, he deceives us. He says that now that we have the basic criteria of iman, we are safe and everything will be fine. We have to be careful with these temptations of shaitan. Shaitan, he attacks everyone in a beautiful way, and we don't even understand and know that what has happened, and we just get carried away with the temptations that shaitan has for us. And during the times of Rasulullah and even today, we find that people, they think that if they have faith in those basic fundamentals, they are safe. When Quran says that إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ. That is, munafiqeen, the hypocrites, they used to come to the Prophet and they say that we bear witness that there is no God but Allah. We bear witness that you are the apostle of Allah. But then Allah immediately instructs Rasulullah that they are liars. So, just that mere faith and belief is not sufficient. That has to stem out and root from one's heart. Or for example, many a times when it comes to the worships that we have, for example, morning of our dhamma, over here also shaitan comes and tempts us that you are safe, you are fine. You cry for our dhamma and the heaven is yours, you will be forgiven because you are a Shia. When we look into the riwayat that we have, yes, there is that great reward for mourning, for observing the azan of Abdullah, but there is a criteria set that if we want the shafa'at of Masumeen, we have to fall within that framework that we have, that has been set by them. And then only can a person be granted with that shafa'at which will be given by Masumeen. Shafa'at doesn't mean that it's just blind, whatever, whoever, and just because he's a Shia, he'll be blessed with it. To understand this concept of shifa, we could say that if you have a credit card, if your credit history is good, and you go shopping, and you want to buy something which is more than your credit limit, you go to that shop and you find that your funds are low. You give them a ring, they say, I want to buy this, and the limit is low. Can you increase it? They will increase that limit for you to buy that. If someone goes to buy something without anything in his pocket, without anything on his card, just tawakkal to Allah, bismillah, I will buy something, he will not get anything. The same thing is with shahada. If you have a mortgage, you can get a remortgage easily. But if you don't have a mortgage at all, you cannot get a mortgage. Shafa'at also is the same. If we have something in our pockets and there is something lacking in it, ma'sumeen will top it up. Other mu'mineen will top it up. Without having anything in our possession, again, it's going to be a tough task ahead. In our books of riwayah, we have a chapter called Babu Sifat al-Shi'a. We started yesterday. And there, the qualities of Shi'as have been mentioned. Now, among some of these qualities that we have, there is this hadith which has been quoted from our sixth Imam, Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. Imam says, امتحنوا شيعتنا عند مواقيت الصلاة. That is, you want to check who a Shia is. Imam says, the first criteria, the first check is that see how he behaves when it is time for prayers. When it is the time for prayers, does he go to say his prayers or he is sitting and doing whatever he was doing? That is one. And then I'll elaborate this a little bit more. And then says, عِنْدَ مَوَاقِيتِ السَّلَاةِ كَيْفَ مُحَافَظَتُهُمْ عَلَيْهَا. That is, how do they protect and safeguard their prayers? Looking after our prayers, safeguarding our prayers, it's one of those very important tasks that we have to give importance to it. And among the criteria that Ma'sumeen have mentioned for Mu'mineen, for the Shias. In a hadith, Ma'sumi says that إِذَا سَلَّيْتَ صَلَاةَ فَرِيضَةٍ فَسَلِّهَا لِوَقْتِهَا صَلَاةَ مُوَدَّعٍ. That is, if you were to say your prayers, say them on time. Now on time, Zohr, for example, it has 1 o'clock, and the time it continues till it is Maghrib, which is 8:10 today. So, لِوَقْتِهَا doesn't mean that in those 8 hours, means dot on time. 1 o'clock, say your prayers at 1 o'clock. If it's Maghrib at 8:10, say that at 8:10. Don't delay. Why? مُوَدَّنِ يَخَافُ أَنَّ يَعُودَ إِلَيْهَا أَبَدًا. And now that you are to offer that prayers, Imam says, offer them in a way that is your last prayer, and after that you will not be given another opportunity to say another one. So now that we know that it's our last prayers, we have to do them perfect, without any mistakes, without any wrong, with all tawajjuh in it, focus to the existence of Allah, so that even if we die, we don't regret that we've done our duty to the best of our ability. Now, the other thing is that, when we say that on-time prayers, there is this 8 hours gap from Zohr to Maghrib, we can say the prayers anytime. Yes, the ruling and fit is that you can say that at any time, and whenever you say it's correct, you've done your job. Now the aim of all of this worship and servitude that we have is to reduce the distance between us and Allah. That is why we say, قُرْبَةً إِلَى اللَّهِ, to seek the nearness of Allah. Hadith, Ma'soom says that someone who offers his prayers after the time, that is, if Zohr, the time ends at 8:10, and I say my prayers at 8:20, for example, Zohr prayers after, that is, as Qaza, Imam says that a punishment is applied over here. He deserves a punishment because he has delayed the prayers from that time which Allah has designed, and that is to be prayed on time, 8, that is 1 o'clock. Now someone who delays his prayers from that awwal waqt to akhir waqt. Awwal waqt is that first time of prayer. Akhir waqt is that time when it is getting qaza, the end of the time. Imam over here says that if someone delays his prayers from 1 o'clock to, for example, 7 o'clock, although it's not qaza, Imam says that if you offer your prayers zuhr at 7 o'clock, you must ask Allah to forgive you. Why? Now forgiveness is when a person has committed a sin. That is, we have delayed the prayers from that time, which is that original time of 1 o'clock to 7 o'clock, and for that forgiveness is required. And then say, if you say them on time, dot at 1 o'clock, Ridwan and the pleasure of Allah is sought. That is by praying on time. And those people who say their prayers on time, shaitan is also scared of them. Now if we want shaitan to be our friend, our companion, our associate, we can delay our prayers and then it is an easy access for shaitan to get hold of us. So if we say our prayers on time, shaitan will be away from us up to a certain extent. So, the first quality of the Shias, which Imam mentions over here, is that, look at them, when it is time for prayers, what do? Do they sit and watch the TV? Or do they do whatever they are doing? Or do they say their prayers on time? So that is the first quality which Imam mentions over here. In addition to this, we are told that if you say your prayers on time, there are more chances of your prayers being accepted. Because the Imam of time, he says his prayers on time. His prayers are perfect prayers, as he is a perfect human, a perfect insan. His prayers ascend. As a result of his prayers, there is a connection which is created from this earth to the heavens, from the arsh of Allah to this earth, as a result of which there is a downpour of mercy and rahmah from Allah. And when we say our prayers at that time of fazilat, on time, our prayers also are blindly accepted by Allah as a result of the prayers of the Imam. So if we want our prayers to be accepted, more chances of that acceptance is when we say them on time. Or for example, if you look into the riwayat again, they say that la hadda fil Islam liman la salata lahu. That is, someone who has no prayers, someone who does not pray, he has no share in Islam at all. Or elsewhere says, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ آفَةٌ مُعَافَةُ الدِّينِ تَرْكُ السَّلَامِ. That is, there is a pest to everything. And if we want to see what is the pest in this religion, what destroys our religion and faith, Imam says, someone who puts his prayers aside has destroyed his faith, has destroyed his religion. So we have to do something so that we protect these prayers to the best ability of ours. Abu Basir, he says that when our sixth Imam, he passed away, I went to his house to condole, to extend my condolences to them, to the family members. And then he says that the family, they looked at me and they cried a lot. Abu Basir also, he says that when I saw that everyone is in mourning over there, I also cried. And then he says that one of the family members then said, Abu Basir, I wish you were present over here. He says, why? He says, Imam, in his last moments, he called all of his family members to congregate, to get together. And when they got together, Imam opens his eyes and says, لَا تَنَالُوا لَنْ تَنَالُوا شَفَاعَتُنَا مُسْتَخِفًا بِالسَّلَاتِ. That our shafa'at will not be for someone who takes prayers easy. So, delaying prayers, not performing them on time, it is again those issues where the shafa'at also will be tough for us to be sought by the Masumeen. Now I'll conclude on this issue of on-time prayers with a hadith from the Imam of Time, Imam al-Asr, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu
sharif. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And it is a very shocking report. Imam, he says that Mal'oonan mal'oon. Mal'oon means someone who is distanced from the special mercy of Allah. Or which is translated in English as cursed, deprived from that special mercy of Allah. Imam says mal'oonan mal'oon twice. Man akhar al-ghada ila an tanqadi an-nujum says that if you delay your morning prayers until the stars they are dispersed, this person is cursed. For example, when it is time for Maghrib, you find that the stars they are not evident. It takes about 10-15 minutes for those stars to be evident. Again, Imam says that mal'oonun mal'oon man akhar al-maghrib ila an tashtabik al-nujum. That is, mal'oon is that person, cursed is that person who delays his maghrib prayers. That is, from that al-qarima, those 10-15 minutes, he delays it from that time and performs them later. Such a person is cursed. Such a person is mal'oon. So it's strong, that is, what Imam says over here, that don't delay your prayers, say them on time. And the same thing for the morning prayers, says that if you delay them from that time until the stars that are present over there, they disperse, the person, he is cursed. So that is the first quality of Shia that is mentioned over here. Baha 6th Imam says that امتحنوا شيعتنا عند مواقيت الصلاة, that test them at the time of prayers, كيف محافظتهم عليها, but how do they take care of these prayers? And then Imam says, إلى أسرارنا كيف حفظهم لها عند عدونا. The second issue which Imam mentions is that look at them, that how do they protect our asrar, our secrets, our deen, our faith before their enemy. That is, this was the case during the time of Imam Baqir and Imam Sadiq alayhi wassalam. When the Shias were in danger, Bani al-Abbas, to portray that they are the supporters of Ahlul Bayt, they stood against Bani Umayyah. Using the leadership of Abu Muslim Khurasani, they deceived many of the people from the right path. And when they got the power, that is, when Bani Abbas, they got the power, all those afflictions and atrocities which even Bani Umayyah could not do, Bani Abbas did against the Shias. Now in these dangerous circumstances, when Bani Abbas was there, Bani Umayyah was there, these two Imams, they protected this being in a beautiful way with that concept of Taqiyyah. That is, they promoted this Taqiyyah among the Shias. That is, this deen has to be protected, this deen has to be saved. To safeguard this deen, observe this taqiyya. Don't show what your deen is to them. Or for example, even if they did show what their deen was, what their faith was, Imam's instructions were that don't get in direct contact with these enemies, that confrontation with the enemies should not be there, so that the deen is at stake. So this taqiyya, the second thing which was mentioned, which nowadays, I don't know how much it is, alhamdulillah, assess that this deen is quite safe and secure and everyone knows it. And the time when this issue was mentioned was that time. And the third quality which Imam mentions over here is muasat. Muasat is helping. Now again, in Arabic we have got this muasat and we don't have that in any other language. There is musawat. Musawat means equality. But muasat means helping. Not general helping. Helping in a way that whatever you want and you desire for your own self, Imam says, have that for your fellow brothers, for your fellow mu'mineen and friends. And some reports, they say that, do you love to spend your wealth for yourself or your friends? Inquire and ask yourself. Now all these are these high levels and stages of ranks of mu'mineen that have been described and defined in our ahadith. Inshallah, I'll continue this tomorrow. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala help us in understanding these great sayings, teachings of Masumeen, and make it as such that we are able to apply all of that onto ourselves. All those who are ill and ailing, may Allah grant them shifa. All those who have requested for dua, the duas be accepted, wishes be granted, pledges be accepted and given. Our children, may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala naslan ba'da naslin and list and count them among the best of Muslims who ever existed. Hasten in the return of the Imam of time, count us among his best supporters and the best who ever existed and those who seek martyrdom in his service. For all mu'mineen and mu'minat, al-Fatiha to our mass. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد السلام عليك يا رسول الله السلام عليك يا نبي الله السلام عليك يا خير خلق الله السلام عليكم وعلى أهل بيتكم الطيبين الطاهرين السلام عليك يا صاحب الزمان السلام عليك يا شريك القرآن السلام عليك يا قاطع البرهان السلام عليك يا إمام الإنس والجان عجل الله تعالى فرجك وسهل الله تعالى مخرجك وظهورك ورحمة الله وبركاته
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى